It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher. It's the unknown preacher. Unknown preacher.
Beautiful people. Unknown Preacher LA, and the fabulous Mona is with me. How you doing, Mona, my sister?
I need more energy. I don't like
man,
that.
Let's
start all over again.
You,
let's start all over again and give me a good, you're like Unknown Preacher LA. Like you were so energetic when you introduced yourself, but then it was like the fabulous. It was like wah. So let's try that again, and I need you to perk up.
So
it's been a long day. It's been a long day.
It has been a very long day. So you look like you a director Kim Fields or somebody. So how about this? You lead it in. Go ahead and do what you do. See.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you so much for this long haul. We know it's been a long haul, a lot of episodes, but we promise you that this one will be the best. And the reason why it's going to be the best is because the Unknown Preacher LA has his wonderful, fabulous, larger than life self co-host, MUN. A-H. That spells Muna. Yes.
All right. That was
wasn't that much better?
It was. I concede on that. I handed you the mic. I concede on that. I did. That was larger
than
life.
Listen, at this hour. Huh? We're faking it till we make it. Ladies and gentlemen, look, it's been a long day for both of us, okay? But you know, we never miss an opportunity to come before God's people and give you what you want. We got to give the people what you want. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what you want. You may not know it, but this right here, this is what you want. Okay. So we got to do, we're here and we're excited. I have a special guest behind me that would like to say hello. Would you like to say hello, sir?
That sound, is it me?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Mimi. I'm good. How are you?
I am good. Now that I hear your voice, you always sound so sweet. You're just a sweet person.
My stomach is queasy. All of a sudden, my stomach got queasy.
Your daughter's always trying to corrupt me, so thank you for saying that. Actually, you can push her to the side and just take over the mic if you want.
How dare you say I'm trying to corrupt you?
Let's just pull.
Give me three ways that I try to corrupt you.
Oh,
give me
wow. Here we go.
I'm back. Yeah, I'm back, baby. Give me three ways that I try to corrupt you.
I'm not going to go through three.
Three. Okay, two and a half.
No, I wouldn't do you like that. I wouldn't do you like that on air. You know, we go to our brothers and sisters behind closed doors, man. Hey, what do you want to talk about? What about the race? Or is it a 5K or 10K this time?
It doesn't matter unless you're doing it with me. So what's up?
See, you calling you me up?
You don't need to know any information if you're not going to partake in it. So let's start there. Okay. Here's the corruption. Here's the corruption. Let's start there. Are you in or are you out?
So, number one, the listeners could benefit from hearing this and the message behind it, because you said you were called to do this race. This is important, right?
Cop out. This is a cop out is what it is. So the listeners, no, brother. Okay. I'm talking about heart health. What's up? You joining me or what?
Yeah. So I'm not going to, when you mention heart health, see, I could throw so many counterpoints on that and this initiative, but
give me two.
It's not for everyone. First, how long is it?
It's a 10K. It's not even a big deal. The first one was a half marathon. That's what, 29.1? Okay, so. I'm sorry, 13.5.
That's wear and tear on the body. So you have to be really careful about that one. 10K. Yeah. What are you laughing at? 10K, we can rock with that. We can rock with
that. You're incredible.
What's the location of this 10K?
We can choose wherever we want to go. It's anywhere in North Carolina. It's Concord, Charlotte. We can do Durham. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got options. What's up? You bout it, put your money where your mouth is. Law enforcement was really good.
Now what date do you have in mind for this, or have you already narrowed down?
Are you in or are you out? Is what
I'm asking questions. I never put my cards on the table without knowing what the other person's hand is, you know?
Okay. So now this is now we're playing spades. Now this is charades. What's up?
I don't know how to play spades. I've never played spades.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know spades, but I never... Poker, wait, no. I played spades before, played. Wasn't really good at it. How about goldfish? Yeah. Do you know how to play goldfish?
I can do goldfish.
Okay, how about ID Clear War?
Yeah, I can
Okay, how about solitaire?
No, I never played that.
What?
Yeah. One person playing, I just don't get that. Like, I would be cheating on myself or something. It just doesn't make sense. I'm like, how do you fairly play against yourself?
It's the number one introvert game for all introverts. I thought you would.
I never heard that.
Are you an introvert?
You already know I am. I can just watch, you know, Batman, read a book, or, you know, find other ways to, you know, do some self-reflection, self-care, all that good stuff.
Okay. How about pedicures and manicures?
Not manicures. Yeah, the pedicures, I rock with
you
that.
You don't do manicures? Oh, you too manly for that. Batman can't get no manicure. It's called a manicure. Man, M-A-N. Manicure. It'll cure you, man.
I have fingernail clippers for that.
No, but you need... Oh, come on. You got to go Dominican style, man. You need to get that manicure and then slap some clear on there. What? That is the ultimate metrosexual. That's what's up. You're not.
I've never proclaimed to be a
country boy. A country boy that you scared a little.
I said I'm a southern dude. I'm not a country boy. Okay, well, we went over the difference.
We did. But I'm saying compared to where I come from, you know what I'm saying, like, metropolitan area. You know, that's very.
I come from
a
metro area too.
Okay, but I'm just, well, no, there's a difference between my metro and your metro. My metro is like city metro. Your metro is like cowboy slicker and galoshes wearing, overall kicking, you know what I'm saying? Like
I grew up around no one in overalls. You
really?
Yeah.
Not that you remember. Not that you remember.
I remember a lot about my childhood.
Yeah.
I really do. I really do. So are you going to tell our listeners about the 5K, 10K? Or yes?
Well, okay. So I will be running another 10K. I'm not going to say when, but I will be. I'm training as we speak for the next 10K. Awesome. And it will be in the state of North Carolina. Gotcha. But I get to choose. So the great thing about it is that with this particular company that I run with, it's really just for people who want to reach their goals. So this kind of like is the prep for other more heavy duty marathons, if you will, which I like it because it's not like it's not about it's prep, you know what I mean? Gotcha. It's the prerequisite to like Boston Marathon, if you will, or something like that.
Okay.
Hardcore. But I found something that I really, really love. It's called Senior Games. And it's for people who are in their 50s and above. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I cannot wait until I get 50. Like, there's so much that they offer. There's cheerleading. There's art.
Wow.
Like, yeah, cheerleading, artwork. It's just like Olympics. But so there's so much more. I'm going to say this. Like, there's so much more offered. but you have to be 50. And I really, really like that aspect because, you know, sometimes when you're a little younger, and 50 is still young. Let's just, okay, for all you people in the 50s and even 60s, I just want you to know, stop playing games. You're still young, okay? You're still kicking. But sometimes when you're in your 40s and under, it's very much about, you know, competing. We want to compete with ourselves because we want to, you know, be better for Christ. You know what I mean? Like, we want to be at our best. So, but I just found out, I just found that, you know, my age bracket and a little younger, it's really, it's all about, you know, what you look like. And it's a little more superficial, if you will. So I like the 50-year-old games appeal to me because I've always appreciated being around those more mature in age. All of my friends are pretty much 10 years my senior. You know, and so that's that appeals to me. You know what I'm saying? So but again, like I was saying, the 10K is the particular company. They're called U.S. Roadrunner. They're all up and down the state of North Carolina, so you can pick what is closer to you. You can travel. You don't have to stay at the same you don't have to stay at the same site. So I like it because there's more. You have, you know, a little more flexibility up and down the state. So, you know, and that's pretty much it. So you pick your time. There's a day. You pick the day, and then there's a couple of times that they have for each day, I believe. So it's going to be quite interesting. So. All of that being said, now that you have a little more information, are you running a marathon with me or what?
I'm gonna definitely pray about it.
Okay, just like you prayed about it the first time.
Well, I believe you rescheduled the first one that I committed to.
Well, I had to because I know the situation.
Yeah, I'm not going and countering the situation, but I'm saying, yeah, I had agreed then, and then I had my own situation when you did reschedule. But and it was cold. I told you I don't do cold, but I will definitely pray about it now that I know it's 10K versus a half marathon. But the other thing I wanted to what's up with the
what?
I said, what's up with the
What do you mean?
Like, or whatever. I mean, like.
I'm just not convinced. Like, you know. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. I want to ask you. Okay. Now, I know. I wanted to ask you this. I hope we have enough time to talk about it because it hit me. And. You don't have to answer for yourself if you don't want to, but I do want to talk about it. Like, have you ever had a time, and I think we all have, where someone said, hey, pray for me. And we did not do it. We didn't follow through.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who were you supposed to pray for and you didn't?
that's not what sparked it. I actually have been doing very well now, but I do know that there have been times where I'm like really deliberate now and conscious of it. But I'll tell you what sparked it. Someone asked me to pray for them and they had enough foresight to because they understand that we're human, right? And so they said, hey, listen, remember I asked you to pray for me. Did you? And I said, yes. And then they came back a third time and said, hey, just keep on praying for me. And I really respect that because, and when they did it, I know that I knew they weren't doing it from a position of judgment or anything like that, but they understand that our brains prioritize things and we look at things that are immediate, things that are a threat, things that are super important in our lives. And so we will put that in the background, not intentionally. And so I think, you know, when they said it, I recognized that they weren't like coming at me saying, I don't believe you. But what they were saying was you're human. Life is busy, as you said at the beginning of the program. And so it's easy for you to forget this. So I just wanted to remind you, I need you to pray for me. And so when they said that, I just started thinking about that. I said, wow, there are probably, I think it's important for our listeners to know that when someone does say, you know, or ask you to pray for them, they're number one, coming to you from a position of vulnerability. And then number two, they're trusting you. And they don't trust, we don't trust a lot of people when we're being vulnerable like that. So we can't take it lightly, and we just need to be deliberate. When someone asks what I do, and sometimes I'll take a note, but oftentimes when I'm doing my prayers at night, I just recap my day. And that's mm-hmm. how I just stay on top of that. That was kind of long-winded, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I don't know why you would want to talk about this subject unless people are asking you to pray for them and you're not praying, you're not following through.
So I just said, not me, but for our listeners. So there are people who probably with no ill intentions, someone is saying, pray for me. And because they're busy, they may have forgotten to pray. And I'm saying that, number one, is you're neglecting or ignoring someone who is in need and someone who trusted you and was vulnerable. So I think just like with everything else, anything else you talk about, we can look at the Bible and break that down and say, hey, this verse says you're supposed to do that. But on a day-to-day life, there are just things that we can get so focused on the scripture and what the word says, but the word's supposed to be translated into our actions and our behaviors. And so praying for someone is just as spiritual or biblical as saying or anything else in the Bible. And so when someone's asking you, that's important. So that's why I'm saying.
Proverbs 21:5 tells us, if you plan and work hard, you will have plenty. Yet for many, money feels stressful and overwhelming. If you're tired of worrying about bills and debt, there's a better way. Kira Speed, a financial coach, helps individuals and families walk in wisdom and peace with their money. And she can help you build a plan that aligns with your spiritual values and also helps you feel empowered with your money so that you can save, pay down debt, and build wealth for you and your family. Interested in learning more? Visit moneyempowered.com to schedule your free 60-minute consultation.
So that's why I'm saying it. That makes sense now? Or?
Yeah, it does. It's just interesting that you would bring that up, because honestly, so I'll just tell you what I do. When someone asks me to pray for them, I just pray right then and there. You know, sometimes that's, we think smart, that there's a lot of different ways to pray. There's warfare prayers. There's where you're literally like going into the realm of the spirit and you're going into battle. But there's also supplication prayers, you know, when you're then there's praise and worship prayers. There's so many different type of prayers. But what I do, because I was running into that issue before, where it was like people, you know, people would be like, you know, can you pray for me? Or I would be like, oh, I'm going to pray for you. I would never pray. Or God would tell me to pray for a specific person and I would never pray, you know, just because, like you said, life does get in the way. But what I do now is I just pray right then and there. You know what I mean? If someone says, oh, pray, you know, I'll just, you know, just do it right then and there.
I like that. I don't know how applicable that would be for me in most cases, but I thank you for saying that, because I will be more mindful. If someone says that, I'm going to think right then and there. And if I can, that's what I will do. But I will say it's been working for me as far as recapping my day and just remembering those who asked. But I just really want our listeners to know, because I think it becomes culturally acceptable to just say, yeah, I'm going to pray for you, and then just keep going on about our business. I would dare say that happens more often than the actual prayer.
Well, I want to bring this up. Mm-hmm. I think that it is very is wise for us to ask God if we should pray for people, because one of the things that, you know, Jeremiah, or God charged Jeremiah with, was to not pray for the people that he was sent to. Mm-hmm. And that was because, you know, and I'll give you a perfect example of this after I, you know, plead my case, if you will. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, you know, in our hearts, we always want to pray for people. We always want people to be okay. You know, we always want to care for people, because the word of God in Deuteronomy, Mark, and Matthew does say that, you know, you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. So that is one of God's mandates. But there are some times where God will have you not to pray for people, like in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16. He was telling Jeremiah, don't pray for them because they're not repenting. And so last night I was coming from, I was going to the nail salon, coming from my nail appointment. Uh-huh. And I got into the car. It was, you know, later. It was later. And there, I saw a young couple that was right next to, it's interesting, because when I pulled up, the Holy Spirit told me exactly where to park, because I wanted to park, you know, in a certain place. And the Holy Spirit said, no, he directed my car in a specific place. And so when I came out, I noticed that there was a young couple that was right next to me. And I thought it was kind of strange, because I'm like, what are they doing? I'm looking in there, you know, I tried to like glance a little bit, of course, for safety, because I was by myself. And it was a woman and a man. And I thought, I was like, okay, there's, here goes me, right, judging the situation. So I'm like, oh, they probably hotboxing. But I was there for a while, and I kept on glancing over, and I didn't see any smoke. I didn't see, like, you know, they were just in the car. And then I perceived, like, in my mind, in my spirit, I just perceived that, like, something was wrong. So I looked over again, and I saw a baby in the back seat. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this couple, you know. And so the Holy Spirit started to, you know, just reveal certain things to me about the situation. And it was apparent that this young couple was sleeping in their car. The woman had her bonnet on. The man that was driving, or in the driver's seat, he had his seat all the way down, like he was, you know, resting. And the baby was wrapped up, really, because it was a little cold. It wasn't, you know, as cold as, you know, what it has been, thank God. But he was wrapped up really tight. He was a toddler. And I said to myself, I was like, you know what? I know I have enough money to, you know, to get them a hotel room. So I'm just going to roll down the window. I'm going to ask if they're okay. And I'm just going to get them a hotel room, because I already know the situation. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. And I said, no, just allow me to do this. And he said, no, they're out here because of their own actions. This is their judgment. Them being out here on the street is their judgment. And then Holy Spirit started to, you know, I'm in the whole time that the Holy Spirit is talking to me, I'm talking to me as well. And I'm like, well, you know, that's messed up. And the Holy Spirit said, again, this is judgment. This is their actions caused them to be here. And then I started speaking, you know, to myself, and I'm like, well, what if they, like, one of them, like, was stealing from their mom? What if they all, you know, just all of these things. And I'm just going through the scenarios of what could have happened. And I don't know, because the Holy Spirit only tells us, you know, certain things, because we don't really need to know everything. You know, most of us are too prideful and arrogant and haughty anyway. So if God tells us everything, we'll be walking around like, you know, we're the all-knowing, all-powerful God, which we're not. But the Holy Spirit, you know, allowed me to to check out that situation, and it made it it really upset me to have to know that I have the means to help someone and I can't. So it's the same thing, and I liken that to prayer. You know, sometimes we want to be a help, because the best thing, ladies and gentlemen, the best thing you can do for anybody is to pray for them. It is not give them money. It is not, because some people are not good stewards of their money. So you give them money and then they just end up wasting it, you know, or they don't appreciate it, or, you know, it burns a hole in their pocket. They don't know how to save, to pay their tithes, invest, you know what I mean? So it becomes a waste, right? So, but the best thing that you can do is to pray, because there's no distance in the spirit. We can pray here in North America for people in Australia or Antarctica or Alaska, Hawaii or Puerto Rico or the Dominican or, you know, Yugoslavia. Do you understand what I mean? So, but sometimes God will have you to pull back and not even pray for people, because those people, this is how powerful our prayers are. We'll pray and intercede and it'll stop God's judgment. That is righteous, because God is a just God. He's a just God. And God says the wages of sin is death. No one escapes that. And this is one of the reasons why repentance is so important and crying to God for mercy, because not only are we filthy, but so are our ancestors. Our bloodlines are polluted. And just like some of them are blessed. But repentance and asking God for mercy is non-negotiable in every prayer. There's not one time that I pray unto the Lord and I'm not like, God, I don't even know what I did today, but I know I did something. I know I judged somebody. I know I had an attitude. I know I, you know, got behind the wheel and got frustrated. You know, please just have mercy upon me. Do you understand what I mean? God is so holy that we forget that how holy he is, you know, and you know, he's righteous. So anyway, I say all that to say, you know, sometimes when people ask us in earnest, when they ask us to pray for them, they may be in distress, but it may be their own doing. And if God is judging them, we need not interfere, because when God judges, usually people get it together very quickly. And that's just how it works. You know, everyone talks about God being, oh, he's a loving God. And he is, of course, because he sent his only begotten son to die worse than an animal for us, for each individual person, but for the world. But he's also a God of war and judgment. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that there is a time to love and a time to hate. There is a time for love and hate. There's a time for peace and a time for war. There is time, you know, seasons come to an end. Do you understand what I mean? So we have to be very strategic, especially nowadays when we see that the God's judgment is fastly moving on this earth. We have to be very, very careful who we choose to partner with, who we choose to pray for, because there's a lot of Psalms 119, I believe. It's the longest book of Psalms. It has like 190 verses, but if you take the time to go through there, ladies and gentlemen, it tells you about secret faults. Sometimes you don't things are happening to people and you can't comprehend them. Well, what's going on? And it's because that particular person has some secret sin in their heart that is unrepented for. So that means that the judgment of God is on their head. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be very careful who we even pray for in this season, especially because a lot of people, you know, they're in distress because of the things that they're involved in. You know what I mean? And some people don't want to be corrected. They're too prideful to, you know, go back to the drawing board and be like, okay, God, it's your will above mine. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. So that's what I would say about that, brother.
No, I don't disagree with you, because the repentance part is real. But what I will, I guess I'll push back a little on the, if you were told, like you said, if you were told not to pray for that person, then yeah, absolutely, you're right. But in general, most people won't be told. Like if someone, because there are plenty of scriptures that talk about praying for your brother and praying for all people. And so you should pray for them. And I think in Jeremiah, you know, God was saying, I won't listen. So he will supersede. So if someone needs repentance and they get and they're not doing it, and I pray mm-hmm. for them, God's mm-hmm. going to say, I'm not listening to you. This person mm-hmm. needs to repent. But to your point, if you were told, I totally agree with you. Yeah, if you mm-hmm. told this person, you know, this is a season of judgment, then yeah, mm-hmm. I totally mm-hmm. get it. So mm-hmm. I do.
The season of judgment, brother, is on America. It's not just one individual person. It's this nation as a whole. Because we've turned away from just the nature of people today, we become a very rebellious people. So my point, what I was saying is, when someone asks you to pray for them, what I would do is I would ask God, God, is it okay? I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's your spouse. I don't care if it's your kids. I don't care if it's your best friend. I don't care if it's your brother, your sister. I don't care who it is. If it were me, if, you know, I would ask the Lord first, am I okay to pray for this person? Because listen, if you ask the Holy Spirit, he will tell you. He will tell you. He will reveal what the real story is. You know what I mean? Because listen, the reality is, it's like it's a whole lot of shysters out here. You know what I'm saying? And we don't really know what people are doing behind closed doors. We really don't. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's not on the up and up. There are some great deceivers out here. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying to walk around with, you know, with your eye cutting your eye sideways at everybody. But there is a judgment that is coming. It's already began. For those of us who are watching the times and the signs and reading the book of Revelations, and, you know, this is the beginning of birth pains, brother. You know, there's a lot of things that, of course, we can't say on air. But, you know, this is, if remember, like in Bishop's book, when he spoke about the tribe of Issachar and they how they knew these were priests. That knew, or not priests, but they knew the signs. They were watching the signs and the times. God has raised up people literally that are watching the times. And so, you know, when you look at what's going on and you're studying the book, and I'm not talking about just reading, studying the book of Revelations, you see that we are in this. These are perilous, perilous times. That when in Matthew 24, I believe it's either Matthew 24, 26, when it talks about wars and rumors of wars and pestilence, and there are things that, you know, that it's already moving upon the earth, you know, and a lot of people are not paying attention because, you know, there's just so much, there's so many distractions, you know, but the judgment is on the earth, but especially on America, because America has rebelled against God. You know what I'm saying? And change the narrative of what being a godly person, a God fearing, like there's a difference between being a Christian and being a God fearing man or woman. When you're God fearing, you care what God cares about. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's all I was saying.
No, I got you. I hear what you're saying. I mean, as far as the nation, I was really focused on the individuals like who come and say, pray for me.
Oh, you was talking about Tony.
Tony? Who's Tony? Who is Tony? Oh, hey,
about Tony.
Who is Tony? I don't know.
Tony and Jack. You know Tony and Jack. That's who he was talking about. I get
Tony
it.
Tony and Jax.
Mm-hmm. Jack, not Jax. It's okay. It'll hit you later.
I hope. hey, I got to really wrap up, man. I'm like 7 minutes over. But, man, we got to do this again. This is way too short. And I want to expound on this, too, because I already know I'm going to get listeners asking more about the prayer piece. Because this is super important. Yeah, yeah.
Well, are you going to pray for me is all I want to know.
So you're the one that said you're not going to pray for everyone. I already made it clear that I'm praying.
A minute first. Okay, did you hear what I just said? Listeners, did you hear me? Because he didn't hear me.
I heard everything you said. You're going to pray.
So are you going to pray for me?
I already said I was. I said I was going to pray for everyone.
No, I didn't say everyone.
And I trust that God is going to, and I'm going to say, you know, thy will be done. Because if it's in his will, then it will be done. If not, then, you know, they will not get, it will not come to fruition. Mm-hmm. But my sister, I got to go. It is 8 minutes past my cutoff time. And I really, really, really appreciate you.
And are you going to pray us out?
I'll let you pray us out.
Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to come before your people, Lord God. We just want to thank you for all that you're doing, all that you've done, all that you're going to continue to do, Lord. If there's anything that we've done or said that is not of you, we ask that you would forgive us. We acknowledge your son, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and our Savior. We believe in the resurrection, that you sent your son to die on the cross for us, and that he died on the cross, and that he rose on the third day, Lord God. And we believe that he's seated at the right side of the Father, and that he makes intercession for us. We believe that with our hearts, and we confess it with our mouth. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And Father God, I ask that you would cover my beloved brother with the blood of Jesus. I ask that from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord God, that you restore him. I ask that you continue to pour upon him more blessings, Lord, for everything that he's blessed the audience and everybody that he's blessing in his community. I ask that you pour back into him in the name of Jesus, a double blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Lord God, I ask that you would give him physical stamina in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask that you even give him new strategies, Lord God, in order to maneuver, Lord God, in the manner that you would like him to. Thank you for this podcast. We decree and declare, Lord, expansion, and that you would increase the territory of the Unknown Preacher LA in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we will always be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Bless each and every listener, Lord God. And we ask in the name of Jesus that their hearts and minds be open to receive, Lord God, what thus saith the Lord through this podcast. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25
pass. All right, beautiful people, we are back, man. I'm telling you, I'm super excited about interviewing this group. I was honored to be on a program with them, and not only did they do their thing on stage, they ended up doing a freestyle, a cypher too, and it just stole the show. So many people talked about them. Y'all heard their music on the show. I am just so fortunate to finally have this group, this Christian rap group on the show, man. I mean, just amazing, and I'm so fortunate for the opportunity. Let me start first by putting some respect on the name, right? Protons, electrons, and neutrons. That's science in the spirit, y'all. Give it up for Penn. Penn, what's happening?
Hey.
How are y'all?
Hey, doing good.
Man, I just want to thank y'all again, number one, for coming on, but for doing what you do. You're an inspiration to all, especially our young people. We had an episode last week on HBCUs, and my niece, I call her my niece Reagan, co-host with me. And this is the kind of stuff I really know that she would embrace. And so God bless y'all. Thank y'all for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, do you want to introduce yourselves for our listeners?
Yeah. So we are Penn, like you said, protons, electrons, and neutrons. This is my wife. I'll let her introduce herself first, and then.
Hi, my name is Genesis Garrett. My artist name is Reina Del Sol.
Yes.
This is my husband.
Yeah, I am Sean, go by the name of Flow Essence as well. You know, all spell one word, grammatically correct, because I'm stickling for those things. At least that's my. happy to be here. Thank you so much for having us on.
I'm Trey, aka Spits Nasty, he who spits nasty on all social platforms. One word, because I like to be grammatically correct, and I'm because I'm a stickler about it.
Now, are you the one that put the music, like, you the producer, right? Now, Trey, are you the producer? Do you produce?
Sometimes, some of the time.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. And
taught me who produces as well. Yeah, Q40.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah. And he's here with us in spirit. He's been he produces a lot of our music for years. And you know, both him and Q have been like, I mean, two of the dopest producers for sure.
I love it. I actually want to recap a little bit before I hit record, because I really love the answer you all gave, because and as I was saying, I'm not trying to throw shade on the Christian rappers I've had on the show, but I wanted to make certain, and I asked, do you call yourselves Christian rappers? And for our listeners, can you, you don't have to say it exactly the same, but I really love that answer. Can you kind of say that again, and how you answered that question?
Thank God, because I don't remember how I said it, to be honest. I want to speak for anybody, but I know as far as, you know, for me and my walk with God, it's, you know, I've always, you know, consider myself a Christian rapper, because my desire, my heart is to follow the will of the Most High God. You know, I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He died for my sins. And if we turn and repent and walk towards him, pick up our cross, you know, lay down the things that we think we want and what we think are best for us, and really follow him, you know, he will change our lives, and not just for this lifetime, but for the next. And when we are walking in that, I think sometimes, especially as artists, we try not to we feel like, oh, if I call myself a Christian rapper, I'm putting myself in a box kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. You know, we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And there is songs that we do that are worship to the Lord, but then there are songs where we are talking about things that we are going through, things that we are struggling. We always try to put a positive note and you know, a light towards Christ in our messages, regardless of what we're going through. But I think people hear, you know, and it's two-way street, because I know when we were talking before, you know, you were like, I know there have been artists that, I'm a universal artist. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, for branding purposes and you know, and whatever the case may be, it's like, oh, okay, well, if I put myself in a box, then that means everybody's just going to expect me to do songs, and it has to be about this and this. I can't do songs about anything else. That's not true. You do whatever God leads you and tells you to do. And it might not look right to anybody else, but it looks right between you and God, because at the end of the day, that's who you got to answer to. At the end of the day, God's going to look at us and say, hey, what did you do with the coins that I gave you? What did you do with the gift that I gave you? I gave you this particular piece or this song or this poem. I told you to do this, and you were too busy worried about how it would look to even others who are in the body or other believers. So we have to always, you know, do what God does. You know, and there's examples, you know, I can go in the Bible with that, but but that's pretty much, I think, what I was saying.
Yeah, and you said it perfectly. I mean, seriously, and you're right. It is a marketing dynamic to it, but if you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, man, and it's going to come into fruition. So I really appreciate that answer and everything you're doing, because when you talk about like Christian rap, I think not only, how do I put it, the marketing is one part of it, but then I do think that there are some listeners who put you in a box and say, okay, Christian rap is one dimensional, and you all are just on, I mean, when I said the depth of what y'all do, the grit, the emotion, I really, I'm moved by everything that I've heard from you all. But what message are you hoping people really feel when they hear Penn?
That's a great question.
I would say it really depends on whatever God has for them. Mm. You know, and like my husband said, we've got a lot of different songs, and not all of them are actively, openly talking about the Lord.
Yes.
But when the Lord's in you, he's going to come out. Regardless if you're talking about relationship stuff and you're trying to lead people towards a positive light and show people that they're not alone, ultimately the Lord is there because he's in there, and it's whatever message he has that's coming out, or if it's something like the song End of the World, that is more obviously about the Lord. Either way, it's always pointing to the Lord. So whatever message he has for somebody, that's what we want them to get.
Amen. Amen. Great answer. And as you were saying that, I was just thinking about, like, you can have that person who will read the Bible, know the scripture like the back of their hands, but it's so much deeper than that. It's the conduct. You know, there are some who may not talk about scripture all the time, but it's the conduct. So you don't have to always rap and say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus to get that message across. And so I absolutely agree with you on that. Now tell us how you all came together. I really want to hear this story.
Oh, man. which one? So it's like, I think it's a two-part story.
Well, I know my listeners, because there are a lot of like single people who listen, so I know that marriage is something that so many people aspire, especially when you talk about a union under God's approval. And so, yeah, I definitely want to hear that too. But the whole group thing, were y'all a group before? Y'all were a couple, or were y'all a couple first?
I would say we were. So to tell you, it's gonna sound it might sound crazy, but to tell you our story, I think I have to tell you me and his story first.
Because okay.
I've known Trey since I think I was about 5 years old.
Wow!
Found out a couple of years back that we were actually cousins and didn't even know. Hanging out and best friends the whole time, kind of thing. But you know, we have been, rapping together and doing poetry and music, since I would say since we were in high school, and it was me, him, and Q. We were talking about earlier. And shout out to Q, by the way. But
hey, you might as well tell him back in camp.
Oh yeah, all the way 12, back there, you know,
it was like
2013
back there. Oh yeah, doing that.
First
time on stage, you know what I'm saying? Like, the new boy center, shout thing out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Camp Hopkins. Oh yeah. So yeah, it's a whole thing behind that, but yeah, he was me and him were in like a Martin Luther King poetry arts type competition.
Yeah.
He did a rap. And I was like, yo, that's dope. And I did my poem. And he beat me. And I was like, what? But I, you know what I'm saying? So then, like, you know, after that, I was like, what was that you were doing? And he pretty much put me on the rap, and I put him on the poetry. You feel me? So, like, wow. That kind of, yeah, kind of evolved into what it is now.
Yeah. And then fast forward, you know, we're going to, you know, open mic, and we're going to different places. And, you know, we met, you know, we went to City Soul, and it's an open mic in the downtown Raleigh area. And lo and behold, that's where I met Genesis, Rainy Day Soul. I was at the door. I was, you know, standing at the door, and, you know, I saw her coming in, and I put my hand up, and I was like, for a high five. And she kind of steps back, looks at me like, hold up. But she got, after she paused, she was like, okay. And she high five me. So we were asked, like, how do you met? We like what always started with a high five. And it really did. We started to, you know, get to know each other, found out that she was a poet and an artist and a singer and a rapper. Wow. And then, you know, we started hanging out, and I told him, you know, right at the beginning, it was like, this was the first time I was so sure of anything. You know, I knew when I had, you know, after I had met her and we were talking, I talked to Trey, and I was like, yo, I think this is it. I'm going to marry her. And, you know, he's like looking out for me, and he's like, man, come on, man. Nah, man. You out of your mind. Like, you know, especially since he knows what I have been through, kind of thing. So he's like, come on. You can't, you know, you wearing your heart on your sleeve, Sean. You can't be doing that. Like, and he meets her, and he's like, yeah, no, this is it.
Don't mess this thing up.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. And he not only told me that, and the Lord confirmed it through my wife, because she was having the same, you know, similar things of like, okay, I want to make sure this is the one. And you know, I didn't know if you want to tell that or
yeah. Just to rewind a little bit, when he went to do the high five, you know, I had to like, wait a minute. And then I looked at him, and I just saw nothing but pureness in his eyes and wow. to the depth of his core. And so I was like, you know what? I will give you a high five. And that was, to this day, the best five I've had in my life. And so I just knew within my knower, you know, the Holy Spirit telling me this man is special. He's supposed to be a part of your life. And I was like, okay, God, now I'm not trying to be in any kind of relationship. Life has been, you know, the market is a little crazy out here and mm-hmm. I don't want anything. And he was, you know, so he said he was special and he was like, you need to get to know him. I'm like, okay, so I'm getting to know him. And I was like, well, Lord, you know, we were dropping off the couch at his mom's house. And I was like, God, you know, if he's supposed to be the one, let me meet his mom and let her know, or let us know that I'm the one. And then I will know for sure. And then I'll, you know, pursue him in that way, because I could tell that he was special to the Lord. And I was not about to like pursue something and, you know, halfway. Yeah. So he called his mom. She said she wasn't going to come out. So I was like, okay, God, I guess we'll be friends. And then I was like sad, but I was like, all right, you know, it is what it is. You know, he's amazing. So I'm happy to be his friend. We're putting the couch down in the garage and I stand up and she's standing there. And when I tell you, I was scared, like, I was like, oh no, like as much as I wanted, you know, that's not a small thing. And it's kind of terrifying when you've been through life and had failed relationships that hurt you. Yeah. And real life. And so I was like, okay, well, wait a minute. She has to say that I'm the one. And then the next day we were linking up, he calls me. He's like, well, he's like, yeah, I can't wait to see you. He's like, you wouldn't believe what my mom said. And he goes, you know what? Never mind. And immediately I knew. And I was yeah. like, tell me what she said.
She would never say that. And I was like, she said, she was like, and I'll never forget. She was like, that's the one. Her right there, wow. That's the one. And she said the same thing that Trey said. Don't mess this up. So I knew. I was like, I can't mess this up. But
yeah.
it was one of those things where I had no idea. And then she had told me, like, you know, this is what the Lord had confirmed. I had prayed for this for this confirmation. I was like, wow, you know. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she doesn't come outside for, you know, anybody. Not on the first meeting. Yeah. She don't, you know, just, you know, how she is. She's like, I'm not going to, you know, come outside, you know, if I'm not, looking at the best, you know, possible, especially for first impressions, it's big for her. So for her to have come outside in the first place, I was like, wow, you came out to meet her? Okay, great. You know, so, you know, and then when she told me that, I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, that's, yeah. And I had already, again, like I said to Trey, I had already knew, like, the Lord already told me, this is the one. This is the one. So, you know, we got, I think we, you know, we dated for about a year. I proposed after that, during, you know, COVID. And, you know, it's crazy because even though, you know, with COVID and everything shutting down and things like that, and, you know, it was hard times for a lot of people. It was some of the most exciting times for my life because we were planning a wedding. I know that sounds not saying that, you know, it wasn't bad. It was still, you know, struggles, but mm-hmm. it was definitely like, you know, I think having something to look forward to and always look at relationships as a reflection of our relationship with God. At the end of the day, when we see him as he is, you know, we will meet him and, you know, it's going to be, you know, he calls the body his bride, you know, and, yeah. you know, we keep the promise just like, you know, between each other. When I proposed, I promised, hey, I'm going to marry you. I'm going to, you know, bring you into a house. He said, I'll build a place for you. That's what Christ said. He has gone to prepare a place for us. And when he comes back to get us, we will meet him at the altar. And we look forward to that day. And I understand now, because it was genuinely like when I got to look forward to marrying my wife, it was something that every single day, it was something I had something to look forward to. I was like, man, this day, it's been, you know, this happened. But I get to look forward to that. I can't wait for that. I always had something to hope for, you know, and that's, you know, to me, that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, you know, and the evidence of things unseen, not yet seen. But, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but that is the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But that's what really it is for me. So.
Wow. a beautiful story, and I'm just in awe. I'm watching Genesis watch you, man. This is just great. I just love and admiration, man. And again, our listeners definitely gravitate towards that. It's just God's love is beautiful, and when you see it from husband and wife, man, spouses, it's just on a whole nother level. And I love what Genesis said about praying, you know, from mom's message. And I know you'll co-sign with me on this because I have plenty of friends who are married. And when mom says that's the one, that carries a lot of weight for guys. The ladies who are listening, I'm telling you, if mom says it, man, you're in there. You're in there. Thank y'all for sharing that. Let's talk about the creating process, the music, the rap, the singing. What's the process like for the three of you? Do you pray about a song first? Do one of you throw out a title? Tell us about the process.
I like what he said earlier, like where, you know, we all experience different things and
yes.
You know, different people. What'll happen a lot of times. Because back in the day, you know, before Genesis became part of the group or whatnot, we used to like hang out. Me and Flo, we would go places and hang out, go to like City Soul and stuff. And we would have like he pull up to my crib. We had a like 1 a.m. conversation about whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and then it'd be like trying to put, you know, tell me the biblical aspect of it. And then I'll be like, yeah, you know. Oh wow, this, you know, I never thought of it that way. And then it will form into a song.
Wow.
Now what tends to happen is similar, right? We'll, you know, go out in life and experience things. And then I'll be like, hey, you know, or whoever, you know, they'll be like, hey, man, I just, you know, was feeling this, da da da. Trey, you got a beat for that? And I'm like, yeah. So then like we'll jump on the beat. Whoever comes up with the first, like the concept, the best, we follow off of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes it, like I feel like it's iron sharpen iron. So like sometimes we'll compete. And then like who gonna get the last verse? Yeah. You know, the last verse, best verse.
Yeah. You know? I absolutely dig in the chemistry between the three of you. I mean, y'all bring so many dynamics. It's like forgive me for doing it, but like the gospel version of the Fugees almost. But it's deep, man. I've heard you. I'm really digging it. Now, what about the name? I know everyone wants to know. Tell us how that came about.
Oh, shout out to Fuse. Langston Fuse.
My boy. Y'all know that's my boy, right?
Well, for real.
We go way back since teenagers, man.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
Small world, man.
Yeah, it is. And it's amazing. Like, I didn't even know that. Yeah, we definitely got to. Yeah, next time we see him, we definitely got to bring you up because that's amazing. Yeah. He actually gave us our name. Performing at the event. Oh yeah, and he was and it's crazy because he was somebody that we have been seeing for years at different poetry events and open mic. And you know anybody that knows Fuse is when he spits, and so we always took notes, like, you know, we would always be like, you know, like, and always like trying to learn from him and everything. So, and I remember, you know, even with me and Genesis, he would be like, no, some of y'all have something pure. And he would always give us advice, make sure to protect that, honor one another. There's nobody else around. Both he and, you know, DJ Damu would always pour into us and that we've always appreciated that. And so we were all at an event. He came out, to the event. And, you know, we didn't even know he was there till we, you know, got off. We had just finished performing and I see him. Well, I didn't know he was there. And I see him, we go up to him. And then, you know, he's like,
prophesied basically.
Yeah.
We we were a group at the time. Yeah. Like, we just were doing music together for fun.
Wow.
And then we just did like a whole set together. And
he just pointed at us.
like protons, electrons, neutrons. And like, what I see, I can see y'all. Like, I see the three of y'all, protons, electrons, neutrons. He was like, I think you just gave him.
You sound just like him doing that.
Imagine this. She could be your best friend, your sister, your coworker. She could even be you. On the outside, she looks like she has it all together. A nice home, a polished smile, maybe even the dream job. But behind closed doors, silence is her survival. That silence helps no one. One in four women will face abuse in her lifetime. And while some forms of abuse are easy to spot, others hide in plain sight. Behind wealth, success, and respectability, it's called upscale abuse. In John and Susie, One Woman in Four is Susie, author Kelly Jones pulls back the curtain on traditional and upscale abuse. With raw stories, urgent insights, and practical tools, she introduces the powerful BOSS framework, showing how abusers choose, trap, and control their victims. More importantly, she gives survivors and allies the clarity and courage to recognize danger before it's too late. John and Susie isn't just awareness. It's a call to action. It shows how abuse ripples beyond the victim to children, families, friends, even bystanders, and it gives us all the tools to respond with compassion and safety. John and Susie, One Woman Enforces Susie by Kelly Jones, is available on Amazon. Awareness is the first step. Action is the next step. Don't wait.
It was dope. So the names always stuck with us.
That's dope, man. I love that story. I'm going to have to hit him up. You know, on my single, he actually did the art design. That's the other thing. The boy is a bad artist, too.
Yeah.
Man, we do have to catch up on a lot of stuff. Yeah. Now, have there been moments where, like, I know Trey mentioned that he'll throw out a song and you'll bring the spiritual dynamic to it. Have y'all ever had a song or a discussion where it kind of clashed, like the artistic expression, and you say, well, that kind of counters with on the spiritual path, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. We have songs right now where, you know, one of us is coming from, you know, a natural, hurt or, you know, emotion or anything, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody will reply to that in the song. So, but that's the beauty of it, because to me, I look at music and art form as a conversation, and you never know who's sitting there right now. And
yes,
they are, you know, on the brink or in the flesh, or how God is using that conversation. Sometimes we get too caught up in, man, how is this gonna look in this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you feel, hey, this person is writing this and you writing that, that doesn't mean the songs clash. It just means it's a conversation.
You might be somebody that you wouldn't have reached otherwise as well, because you're being real and speaking to their truth.
You know, and you can't have a conversation sometimes, like, if every conversation was you know, always, you know, the same or similar, I don't think that you're getting real conversations. They're real conversations where, you know, hey, you know, I feel this way and I feel this way. Okay, cool. Let's come together and make something creative out of it.
And sometimes that reaffirms your growth as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when you have to answer the question for somebody who don't really understand what you're doing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It can reaffirm your growth. Give an example, like, you know, we have people that had different beliefs, you know, and, you know, come to us, and then, you know, we was able to talk to them and, you know, speak to them, even with music as well at the same time. And it was able to, it actually helped me specifically. Yeah. But
I love that you kind of answered the question that I was just about to ask, as you all are, for lack of better words, bridge builders, because there are going to be some people who never stepped foot in a church, and then they hear pen and they're like, what's this thing about Christianity? I'm a little hungry now. And you guys are just the perfect medium for that. Your platform really speaks to that, I think, anyway. Thank you for that. Do y'all have a moment on stage or after a show that just reminded you that, hey, this is bigger than the music? Like, do you have a moment you can think about and share with us?
Yeah, 100%.
I like the fact that when we're on stage, it's like, I feel like it's like, we're, and of course we're married, but like also he's still my friend too. And so I feel like it's just like hanging out with my best friends and doing what we love. And it's just a lot of fun. Like it, so you're up there and then there's these moments too at the same time where it's just like deep worship, because there's some songs where it's just like, I'm trying not to cry, but I might cry while I'm up there because it's just like, something else
in a real place.
So I'd say for me it's kind of that, and like sometimes you're tired beforehand, but you get up there and you're doing what you love with people that you love, and you're giving glory to God, and then it's just like, what more could you ask for in life? You even if you were tired before, like at the end you're filled. It's awesome.
You know what's funny about that? Like, we are our own cheerleaders, yo, which is crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Sometimes, it'll be like this. I'll remember her verse, he'll remember my verse, and I'll forget my verse. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, we know each other's verses better than each other.
Yeah,
like,
literally, I could recite his verse back to him verbatim, like, and before I could even do mine. And it's like, but that's what I love about it as well. It's like when we come together, and especially when we perform, we're really having fun.
And
we're having fun, and we're also know that we're giving glory to God.
Amen.
And we also know it's not for us. Somebody said to me a long time ago, was your gift is not for you. And I always try to keep that. And I didn't realize it until people start coming up to us and they'd be like, yo, that thing that you said, like that really hit, or I really love that. And you can feel the genuineness behind it. And you don't know how God uses that. Cause at the end of the day, we're all just instruments for God. And you don't know how God uses a song or a word in that song. There's been people that come up to us or told us, hey, that piece that you did, or that song that you did, that made me cry. And you don't know, in your mind, you might be thinking that's, I wrote that song, I wrote that song like 2 weeks ago, or blah, 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 because you're out of that situation or what you've been through. But that person that's going through it, God uses it to touch them. And, and that's why even I say, and I'll backtrack this, because I do feel this in my spirit to say this to anybody that is listening, and, and you're listening, and, we were talking about, hey, there are artists who don't identify themselves as Christian, or they identify themselves as universal artists. Bible says, test the spirit by the spirit. If you are listening to something and it is not sitting in your spirit, test it. Test the spirit by the spirit, every song, and really look at it. God says, hey, turn that off, turn it off. You can't look with physical eyes. You have to look with spiritual eyes at everything. And so when you're making judgment and you're using discernment, just make sure that the spirit is discernment. Make sure that it's coming from God. And make sure that it's in line with who we know God to be, the biblical word and the truth of God. And so, that's what we try to do is in our music and in our relationship. And I feel that it resonates and connects with other people. And again, I don't believe it's us. I really don't. I don't think it's like we're not writing songs because we're like, oh, this is going to make somebody cry. We're writing songs literally, like you said, from conversation. We're having conversations about God, about life, about art, about all these different things. And then we just go, hey, let's write this down. Or somebody could, like one of us would come to the other and be like, hey, that conversation that we had the other day, I wrote this. And that's
it inspired the whole
song. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's like, we have a song, man. Oh my gosh. Me and Sean have a song. I'll never forget. It was talking about relationships. It's called like When Love Dies.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Listen, I was like, man, I had gotten like one of the really deep depths because I had to, break up with someone, And I showed Sean the verse. Sean was like, what? This is crazy. Like, this is fire. And I was like, really? Is that good? He said,
yeah.
And then 20 minutes later, he comes back. true. We've been tit for tat for that, but he comes back with the most fire verse. I was like, we gotta record this now. It's 10 o'clock. I don't care, bro. We need to record this while it's hot.
Yes. Then Genesis is here, and she'll be like, And by the end of the song, I done wrote my verse.
Like, yeah!
By the end of the song, over here, 5 seconds left. I done finished it. Yep. Like, what?
It's crazy.
I always admire people like that who can just, man. It doesn't feel good when you know God's using you. That's what's up. Hey, thank you for dropping those spiritual nuggets, because that's what they were. I appreciate that. And let's talk about the Christian hip hop in general. So it's evolving, right? What does that mean for the up and coming Christian rappers? What do y'all think?
I feel like that people shouldn't get rid of their originality. Mm. You know, I feel like we should operate on that. Like, when it's your, let it be your voice. Don't let nothing else alter what that is. Yeah. You know, when you're inspired, don't be like, hey, this sound right here is what made them blow up. Mm-hmm. This is what we need to do.
Yeah.
Nah, bro. Stick to your formula. It's the only thing that's going to work for you. Because what happens when a bunch of other people start thinking the same thing? You know what I'm saying? Then y'all all get lost in the mix and you lose your identity of who you are as an individual.
And so, I'll say, like, too, with the way that the world is going, and if you look throughout history, the world kind of goes on a swing from, like, conservative to lost to conservative to lost to, you know, and somewhere in between. And right now, with all the craziness that's going on, there's a lot of people that are coming to the Lord. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think we also have to keep in mind that with that, there are also often wolves in sheep's clothing. And so just because someone says that they love the Lord, that they believe in the Lord, and that they are having your best interest, and maybe they want you to go do this or go do that, and maybe tweak this or tweak that about your art, just to kind of like tangent and agree with what you're saying, listen to the Spirit of the Lord and do what he has to do, because some money is not good money. And you got to follow the Lord. Like, that's it. You don't even need money when you got him. He can make it appear in a fish. It doesn't matter. He could do anything. So follow the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saying that, because, you know, our platforms are supposed to be about service. And if we're not careful, they become a platform for self. And next thing you know, our eyes, our idolatry is the money. And that is so deep. I'm beautiful words, y'all. I really appreciate that. The other thing, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was thinking about when me and him had went to an event, Carolina Waves, back in the day, and we met this young lady, fantastic artist, can sing so good. And we went up on stage and we did our thing, came back down and sat down, and she was like, dang, I wish I had met people like y'all back before I had went through the journey that I just went through.
Yes.
And she told us that she used to be a Christian artist, and then she ended up, you know, winning a competition, got the management in her ear. They was trying to make her, you know, dress all scandalous. They told her that was the thing that was going to get people to, you know, like her as an artist, and none of the stuff that they suggested to her worked.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And it ended up hurting her and her self-image of herself. So she had to start all the way back over from ground up, you know? So just to tag along with what you said.
I love that you said that, because you just confirmed. I was getting ready to give something similar, because in the name of faith and religion and Christ, there are vipers out there in the music business, and they will manipulate if you're not careful. And I'm glad that you three have each other. And I've seen it. And I'm talking about, like, international recording artists right now who I know for a fact are being robbed and being manipulated, because their head wasn't in the word and they didn't know anything about the business part of it too, because there is a business part of this. And so I'm so glad you said that too. And I make it an effort every chance I get. If anyone needs to know about the business piece, I am more than happy to share that with them, because they will manipulate you. They'll take advantage of you. And your work is your work, and that's your brand, and people will steal that from you. But thank you. Thank you so much for confirming what I wanted to say. I appreciate that. I do want to ask y'all this. If we have a listener right now and they're battling or having doubts about their faith and their art, and thinking, hey, does this belong in the same space? You know, what do y'all say to that person or those people?
When you say like they're battling with their faith, you mean like when it comes to maybe songs they're putting out or just their faith?
Yeah, they're saying, hey, I feel this so much, you know, I'm a person of faith, and I don't know if, and it could be just the genre as a whole. I don't know if rap should merge with Christianity. And there are people who really struggle with that, who used to be rappers on the secular end. They got saved and they don't want to touch rap because it brings back so many memories of a lifestyle of the flesh. And they're saying, hey, I don't want any part of it anymore. Or they're struggling. They're like, I feel it in me. I have these ideas. I don't know if it's the right thing, or I don't have the courage or the intestinal fortitude to really put this out. What would you say to someone like that?
Oh yeah, go ahead. Oh yeah.
So, all right. So I feel like every form of music came from God. Every form, everything is just who you making the music about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Like, you know, that's what makes it corrupted. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The reason why you do it is what can make it corrupted, you know?
Yeah.
And also the message.
Yeah. Mm.
And just even, you know, even as my testimony, there are, you know, because, you know, I wasn't always, you know, rapping about God. I wasn't. You know, I grew up in the church, you know, believed in God, but my testimony, was very much, you know, probably like a lot of people listening right now, left the church and, you know, had to go through and really learn who God was and really mm-hmm. learn that it is about relationship. And it is about listening, you know, he says, my sheep shall know my voice. You know, I will, you know, in the voice of the stranger, I will not follow. And I had to learn the difference. It really is the difference, because the enemy is crafty. And a yes. lot of times when God delivers us from something, a lot of times we think, oh, okay, I can't do that thing anymore. Because again, the enemy wants to convince you not to use your gift. When God said, oh, no, wait a minute. I said, transform this. I'm going to transform this for my glory. And I think about Paul, somebody mm-hmm. who was literally killing Christians, and God turned him around. If he can do that, and now the very thing that he was good at, you know, the very thing that all of his gifts, the knowledge that he had of the law, he was able to use that to bring people to Christ. And so God will turn your life around.
Yes.
And if he's giving you that gift and that purpose, he will use that. But you have to trust him and you have to follow him. And I'm also speaking to anybody that is kind of like me, who there have been songs that I have written and I'm like, constantly thinking about what, how are other people, especially when I got into Christ, because the enemy would do that too. The enemy would try to, if he can't get you to not use your gift, then he'll try to get you, he'll try to control it. And what I mean by that is, you might think, oh yeah, like this is God, and it's not God. You feel, you know, if you are in your word, if you are spending time with him, if you hear his voice, you know when he's speaking to you. And you also need to know when the enemy is speaking to you. Because the enemy would try to send other people to say, oh, you can't do that. You can't say that. Why are you talking about that? You shouldn't be talking about this. But if God is sending you to talk about it, then you talk about it. If God is sending you to sit down with other sinners and those who are not even normally, who are believers, but you don't know why he has you in that space. Mm-hmm. I've been told, hey, you can't go into that space because not everybody there is a believer. That's not how it works. God will send us, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I should do no evil, but God will send us to the world so that we can be lights of the world. No one, you know, takes a you know, you're not going to take that the light that you have and put yourself under a lampshade. Don't do that. You know, really follow his voice and really listen. And if you have to take time to say, hey, because I've done that before as well, let me, before I put this out, I want to make sure, God, that I'm hearing you. Before Amen. I do this and go in this direction, I want to make sure that I'm hearing you. And if you have to take some time to sit and pray and fast before you can hear God and make sure that you get that confirmation, do that. Really do that. But don't make sure that you're listening to the voice of God. Don't listen to the voice of the stranger. And you'll know, because God God will always, his will always be done. And there have been times where I'm like, oh no, I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't, you know? And God is like, no, I told you to do that. And it's that, and he'll keep knocking. He'll keep telling you, no, I told you, you know, when you have a real relationship with him and you're his, he's not going to give up on you. An example for me, God had told me to, you know, donate money. I was just, you know, spending time in the Word. He said, I want you to give this certain amount to this person. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, you know, and again, it's how the enemy does, you know, he's, you know, again, he's very crafty, but that's why, again, our relationship, you know, he has made, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Right. And in the weakness of the flesh, you know, sometimes people come, you know, and say, hey, you know, why don't you do this? And it's like, oh yeah, now you're questioning, now you're doubting, now you're second guessing the very thing that I was like, okay, I'm on fire. God told me to do this. The second I hear something different, and God will allow that too, because he wants us to learn his voice, test us to be able to build us so that we can learn his voice. We don't learn without those, I think, those adversity. So mm-hmm. even in that moment, God was still getting the glory, because even when that person did say, hey, you know, what about this? And I got a second opinion. I started to, yes, to doubt. And I started to second guess, and you know, delayed obedience is disobedience, right? So I wasn't doing anything. And I was like, okay, well, let me confirm. And I, you know, until I was like, hold up, I know you, God. And God had to remind me, you know my voice. You know when I'm speaking to you. And when I finally went to go, get the money out to make the donation, this is how God always gets the glory. His will is always done, and he's always on perfect timing. Sometimes you don't know why you have to go through that journey. I didn't know why I had to go through that journey, or why, you know, even my disobedience and what I was doing, he still turned it around for his glory. I get to the bank, and the lady, I'm taking out, you know, the money, and the lady is like, hey, what are you doing it for? And I told her, you know, what I was doing it for. And she was like, wow, thank you so much. That God had been dealing with her on starting the church. And so when she had heard my testimony, it encouraged her to start her own church. And she said, wow, because I told her, you know, I was like, you know, I was delaying, but then I finally said, okay, I'm going to listen to you, God. I'm just going to trust you. And she's like, you know what? Thank you for saying that. I'm going to trust God too, because he's been dealing with me on starting the church. So you never know how God is going to use even your failures and your disobedience for his glory. So even if you fall short and you feel like, man, I can't write about this, so I can't make this song. I just did this yesterday. Just don't let the enemy keep you from him, mm-hmm. because God is always there. You know, you have to run to him. And we all fall short. We are battling our flesh.
Yes.
You cannot allow the enemy to keep you from God, because that's what he really wants. He wants to break the relationship. You know, he don't just want to get you to sin against God. He wants to break that relationship between. He wants to break that covenant between y'all. Mm-hmm. Don't let it happen. And that, you know, that's my testimony. You know, like, that was a long one, but
I love it. Hey, that's what we need. Yep, someone needed to hear that, so it wasn't long at all. Anyone wanted to add anything else? Because hey, some good stuff. Go ahead, Genesis. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I would just kind of tie in with what they said, because it kind of both coincided. I believe that everything comes from the Lord. It's about where you take it, where you put it, right? So as he was saying, you know, where it comes from inside of you, are you listening to the Lord? Like if you're even singing a gospel song, but it's not, your heart's not glorifying the Lord, or maybe the words are more so glorifying you or what you've got or anything like that, what glory is that, you know? So you could rap, you could sing, you could talk, you could do any of these things. You could play a violin with no words, but are you doing what you're doing for the Lord? That's all that matters.
Yes. Yes. Science, man, y'all dropping it. I appreciate that. Hey, listen, I just want to say this. I truly enjoyed this interview. And I'm going to say it on the record. This is one of my favorite interviews, just because for a number of reasons. I feel the love. The three of y'all, man, it's just, I just see so many. You're already doing great things, but man, you're just peeling the onion now, right? It's going to be much stronger. Watch what I tell you. So just keep doing what you're doing. And we got our connection with my boy Fuse, so that's another thing. And but you guys are dropping science. I do this for all my guests. I want to give y'all the floor if there are any events, any music, anything you want to share right now, so our listeners can connect with you all and follow you. The floor is yours. Social media page, whatever. I'm passing the mic to Pen. It's yours.
You want to go first? First and foremost, just I thank God and for us being here, and I thank you for allowing us to be here. I love this conversation as well. It really felt like we was just having a genuine conversation, and yeah. It sounds crazy, but we really do talk like this all the time. We really do. We are continuously putting out music. We have a couple songs that we've been working on together. There's a new song that just dropped. It's actually with me, Trey, and our producer, our other producer. Q40, he engineered the beat. It's called Pull Up. It's on all platforms right now. It's really dope. I love it. It's one of my favorites. Please, check that out. Of course we have, End of the World, which is something that I know is, near and dear to my wife's heart. Because it was written and we wrote it at a time where it was like, when everything else, when you feel like you're in an endless void, and that's even, if I'm speaking to anybody right now, and you feel like you're just floating out there in space, you will look up and you see God, you see the light of God, and that's the one thing you focus on in the midst of all the darkness around you. So that's why we wrote that song. And then even with the Pull Up, just the backstory on that, it was like, when he created the beat, we were like, just with what Genesis was saying earlier, it's like it's so much going on in the world. And we, Bible says to pay attention when you see these things, know what time it is, know where we are at, not to focus on it in fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Just know and be excited that the Lord is returning. And so when we wrote that song, it was like, yeah, we see people that's like, yeah, people been saying Jesus coming back and for years, and it's like, no, don't get it twisted. He is coming, mm-hmm. And that is true. Yeah. And wait till he pulls. That's why the song is like, wait till he pull up. But it's a song that's in love. We will share the truth in love. We're not going to hide it from you. We're not going to tell you, sugarcoat it, or anything like that. That's not what the gospel is about. We're letting there will come a time and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And so, right now, while you have this time, while we have this time every single day, we have that chance to get right, to come to God, to give our lives to God, and it is the most freeing thing that you can do. So that's
crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, we talking about this because I was just reading a passage in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 30 all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talking about the exact thing. Like our Bible study was about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, it's just like everything's coming together. Yeah.
Yes.
Praise God. Yes.
We have a lot of music that we are constantly working on. Just like, we'll go and we'll get together. We'll be like, yeah, we're going to record this time. And then we'll write something new.
Yeah. So,
we just gotta stop getting inspired by each other and just like record what we already wrote.
Not even we get excited just to be around each other.
Yeah.
I can tell it shows.
It's crazy.
Well, you guys are like just diamond in my book. I honor what God is doing through you. not just the talent, the assignment, right? The assignment, you know, because I pray and I know it's going to come into fruition that your ministry just keeps growing, just like your integrity. I have so much respect from the small interactions and then from this interview. I like y'all that just that much more. And I sincerely mean that. So, before I go out, I'm going to say this. You always, always have a place on the Unknown Preacher LA. And keep me posted on the music. Much love.
Yeah, absolutely. Much love. Yeah, thank you.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.